Moncrief on News Talk.
Why can't all lads be sound like Hozier? That was the title of an article my next guest wrote 10 years ago about her experience of being harassed, and her entertaining and authentic, honest look into real life continues with her current stand-up comedy show, Big, which is about her body, the physical change she has gone through in recent years, and misogyny. Thank you for joining me on the line, Alison Spittle.
Wow, 10 years. 10 years since Joe Duffy on Liveline asked me, how does that make you feel when you get called fat? And I was like, not great, Joe. So yeah, it's been a decade. Love it.
What?
I mean, yeah.
What prompted that article in the first place?
Me getting harassed by people. It just like, it's not even, it doesn't happen as much now. And I think it's because I've aged up and I've got a bit more confidence about me and everything. And maybe I wear less garish clothes. But I just feel like some lads, not all lads, not Hozier or anything like that, they feel a bit threatened by women who wear bright, colourful clothes. It's a strange thing being like a fat person in public, because like sometimes, like my show is all about being fat and stuff. And sometimes I bet 10 quid people will be like, oh, will she ever stop talking about being fat? But people don't stop talking about it to me. And I mean that in regards to like, I feel like I get harassed on the street because I'm fat and because I'm garish, I think would be the, I don't know, it's either that or a woman, but either or, you need to look at yourselves as a society.
Yeah, that whole being a woman thing doesn't bode well for
good
us
crack.
Sometimes, does it? Good crack, yeah.
No, it is. It is good crack. I mean, I got my nails done, only half done. It is great crack. I like being a woman for that.
And talk to me about the show then. So this show, big show name, big show nature. Why big? Why now? Especially this topic, we're talking about changing appearances, changing weight, losing weight, gaining weight, all of the above. Sometimes territory people don't feel comfortable going into, don't want to go into for reasons good and bad. Why for you was now the time to broach the topic?
Because I had to lose weight because my health was deteriorating, so it was important to lose weight. And it's a strange thing because I never really wanted to lose weight, and the more that people would be at me about being fat, the more fat I wanted to be, and like it felt like a shield and a deflector. So when I have to lose weight, I want to explain why I'm losing weight, and that's what the whole show is about. It is a load of crack. I put in loads of jokes so I can talk about the sad thing about being dehumanized because you're fat, because it is sad. But like it's a show I felt like I had to make, because sometimes I don't know, like it's the thing, if you Google Alison Spittle, it's the biggest thing that gets Googled is Alison Spittle lost weight, how. So I felt like I should do a show about that.
How does that make you feel that that's kind of the overriding topic, or that's the thing that people are seeking out the most? And why do you think people are so invested? And it's not just you, you know, anyone's appearance drastically changes. There's a curiosity there in people, a good curiosity, a bad curiosity, depends on the person, I think. But why, what prompts that?
Yeah. I think it exists because like, I don't know, like, I think the thing about being fat is anyone could become fat. Like they might like to think to themselves, I'm not me, but you could. You don't know what's going to happen in life. You don't know whether you'll become disabled and become fatter. Then, you know, you could go for a really bad breakup and really get into ice cream or anything else. And I think there is a curiosity about it, because I do feel like there are several kind of questions that people have about being fat, especially like if you're like, I think a big thing is if your life is like is negative, why would you remain fat? And I think people are curious about that, and it's like it's not a simple answer, and that's what the show is about. It's just giving my own personal answer on stuff, because the only thing I can do is just tell my truth or whatever. I think there's a curiosity in that way. Also, it's just about like Off Menu is the most popular podcast, and that's about food. I think there's just a curiosity about food or riding, you know.
True.
And with fatness, that both of those come into play.
How have you found the response to the show? Because I mean, it's one thing to create this show, and a lot of it, most of it, barring from your own personal experience, and then you're bringing it to a wider audience to the masses. What's the response been like?
I mean, it's been really lovely. I got like, it won awards and stuff. I knew I was very proud of it anyway. And I knew, you know, you just know as a comedian, you're like, right, I'm just going to stack this as much with jokes as possible to sweeten the actual truth of what I want to say. And it's kind of exciting because I'm doing Vicar Street next week and I'm touring Australia. I've never toured Australia before. You know, just in the middle of the tour of the UK. The response from people have been like really lovely. And there's some jokes I do in the show that I can just hear like, a quarter of the audience laugh at, and I know that they're fat. Like, I know there's some jokes that only fat people will get because you only know what it's like to be as a fat person if you live through it, you know?
You mentioned kind of feeling sadness earlier. Is that the kind of most prominent feeling you feel when you think about past Alison, or how do you feel about her now? Even the, let's talk about the Alison 10 years ago who wrote that article. How do you feel about her now?
I feel kind of like, how do I feel about her? I feel like it's weird because like I'm on Mount Jarrow, which are these injections to help you lose weight. And there's a lot of people that are on it, public people. And like Amy Schumer is on Mount Jarrow. And I saw an article about her deleting every picture of her when she was fat. But that made me really sad because Amy Schumer's best career has happened when she was fat. Like, she got married, she had a kid when she was fat. And there's stuff that like, I don't think I'll ever be negative about myself when I was fat because I don't hate myself. I didn't hate myself. And I think sometimes that's hard for some people to grasp. You know, that you can be fat and not hate yourself. And I'm not, look, I'm Irish. I can't love myself. What I did was ignore myself. That's the nearest I could get to that. But so the emotions I have, because I my phone shows me pictures of myself 2 years ago or last year or whatever. And I don't, I'm kind of like very proud of her in a weird way. And it's a weird thing because when you lose weight, people want to congratulate you, and I get it because it is hard. It is hard to lose weight. I am trying to lose weight and it is hard, but it feels like I shouldn't get that praise. I don't know. I don't feel that much different from about 2 years ago, other than like strangers are nicer to me. And you just kind of notice that. And I say that a lot, but that is the thing that I notice the most.
And that must be a bit of a strange experience as well. You're probably sitting there being, okay, well, I'm actually the exact same bar, you know,
so
actual
defensive.
Physical composition, you know.
Oh, well, I'm just way more defensive of myself when I was fatter now. I think it's another thing of when I was fatter and, you know, like people might, like, I'll just try and think of an example, like a fella whispered into my ear, I can't say the word, but it was like fat and then whatever.
Okay.
Over the Haypenny Bridge. And like, I remember kind of being like, wow, that was like, I didn't feel like I could properly defend myself because I was like, but he is half right. I am fat. I don't know about the other thing, but like, there's this weird, and now that I'm getting less fat, I'm just like, no, you shouldn't have put up with that as much as you did.
Yeah.
But that I think that's the thing about being like a fat person. If you're pursuing stuff like comedy or whatever, you're kind of a mirror for how people feel about themselves.
Yeah, certainly.
This is such a depressing chat to
well, look, I was going
to
say,
promote a comedy show with Vickersley. I'm so sorry.
Look, you did say it's chock full of jokes as well. You mentioned, like, what are the fat jokes that you think fat people get, but fundamentally skinny people don't? The ones that you hear people laughing at, you go, oh, fat people got this. They understand
well, it's just
where
the
I've
darker
been.
Jokes.
Okay.
It's just the dark, like, skinny, fat, thinner people, like, they don't feel that they can laugh at that because it seems cruel. When, like, for fat people, it's like a reality of their lived experience. Do you know what it's?
Yeah.
And it's not like I wouldn't judge a skinny person for laughing at, like, I offer up the jokes are there. But, like, there's some observations that you do that, like, only fat people can know. And, yeah.
You mentioned you're touring Australia for the first time ever, which is very exciting. Have you tweaked any of the material to cater to the Aussies?
That's very cool. No, I think I'll know when I'm doing it on the day. I suppose, like, there's not, because I'm touring it in the UK and Ireland, there's not much I have to change except, like, explain the concept of, like, a theme park or whatever. Like, I don't think I'll have to change much. I have been told by other comedians that, like, I'm touring Melbourne first, and they're supposed to be the most... like wokest, I would describe them as, like they apparently they'll be like scared to laugh as much.
Okay.
But apparently Sydney are supposed to be very on it. So I'm excited about it. Like there are certain cities that are like that, that you have to just accept that, like they're going to be a bit more self-conscious.
You have to work a bit harder to kind of drag the laugh out of them because they're nearly checking over their shoulders. Go on, where?
Oh,
where's the worst?
Absolutely. Norwich. I think it's because it's a small enough city that they all know each other. It's very like Galway, Norwich, but without the crack, you know.
Sorry to Norwich. Sorry to the people of Norwich, but Alison's
Biddle
is broken.
Oh, I love Norwich. No, come back again. Yeah. Like your mustard is class. Nothing like that. And they all wear Lucy and Yak. So look, and I wear Lucy and Yak, so I can't judge them too much.
So you kind of feel like a kindred spirit with the Norwich people, but just not in terms of just guys, like let it out. Why don't we all just laugh at things?
Definitely. It's a very flat land. When I was getting the train through there, it felt like Westmeath. So it's very flat, very boggish. Yeah.
So maybe there's a connection between how mountainous the terrain is and how willing people are to laugh. That's interesting. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
You mentioned Westmeath, up Westmeath. I didn't realise, though, that your dad is English, actually,
English.
And that you were born in England.
I know it's an affliction that I have to deal with. yeah, he's English, and I was born in London. My Irish side of my family lived around Cricklewood, around that way. They were builders and stuff like that. So when I was a small kid, even though like I lived in Germany and stuff, but when I lived in England, it was all surrounded by Irish people. Like I knew who Joe Dolan was. So when I came back to Westmeath, I was like, right, this is the home of Joe Dolan.
I'm in safe hands. I'm an absolute safe answer.
Definitely.
I thought it was really interesting, this interview you did in The Examiner, where you're talking about your childhood and growing up. You're the eldest of a couple of younger siblings. What's the biggest age difference there?
19 years is the youngest, and she lives in England. That's Ellen. And she's mad about like Irish culture. So she's fully English. My dad is English and he's a second wife who's English. But she is enamored with my older sisters and because they're very glamorous. The middle three sisters are very glamorous women. And my sister is 17, so she's very into, you know, and all of them have taken a course and have done beauty in some way, so she can get the nails done and the eyebrows and all that. And she says stuff like, here, but in an English accent, which I find very cute. And she's very into Irish slang and everything.
Okay, are you full time in London now, or are you over between Ireland and England now?
Yeah, no, I'm full time over in England. I think the next time I'm going to tour Ireland next week. I'm in Listowel and Kilkenny and everything. And then it's going to be that Bureau of the Change in May. That's the next time I'm in Ireland. Bureau of the Exchange, is that what they call it?
Bureau de Change, I think, if we were going to do accents.
You're a former champion.
I know, Gluck, don't make me talk about it. For anyone not familiar, it's essentially a fake Eurovision contest, like the dream for all comedians to just be in Eurovision without the political quandaries, shall we say. Can you give us any hints on, are you performing or are you hosting Bureau de Change?
Hosting. I've done it once performing and I lost and I didn't like losing. So I was like, right, I'm going to host. I'm taking away the ball.
Okay, that's very exciting. That'll be a great night. And you know what else will be a great night? Your show in Vicar Street, big. This is April 11th at 8 o'clock. Mm. Get your tickets. Congratulations, Alison Spittle.
I'm so excited.
Thank you so much for joining me on Moncrief.
Yeah, have a lovely day. See ya. Bye.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2. On News Talk. Conversation that counts.